America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
I'm here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
Can you ask Bears if he's pissed that Matt Patricia has his job now? Like, I seen that.
My God.
Matt Patricia following Bill around down for Monday Night Football. I feel like Matt Patricia took his job.
I am not touching that.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen. I did not know that.
Wiggy.
If I'm not moaning and groaning, you ain't deep enough. You know me, the older the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
These people texting in going, you're protecting Courtney.
Listen to the radio, you donkey.
Well, it's a swing and a miss, apparently.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
Let this vagabond on our property? You know, you're not allowed here, young fella.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of... You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill!
Go!
Greg Hill, show! All right.
Friday.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi.
Hello, Curtis. Hello, Shime.
Hi, Greg.
Yep. Can we, technologically wise, can we go to Miami, Florida and say good morning to Coach Wiggins? Hello, Coach.
Good morning.
How are things down there? They're not very good up here. That was a brutal football game last night. Absolutely brutal.
Man, I hope you took the under. I bet on the under. I thought it was going to be a lot closer than that one. I don't know what happened with the Patriots' defense.
That may be the worst that the offense has looked in the modern era for this football team, Curtis. Since I was a young man and Tony Eason was the quarterback of the New England Patriots, that may be the worst that they have looked last night.
That was personally offensive. It was an abomination.
But you think the worst they've ever looked in the modern era? I know you're still on the island a little bit, but there were some games that looked equally as bad. Yes. I think you're looking back with rose-colored glasses. They looked horrendous, but to say that was way, way worse than any of the...
I'm telling you...
Those are rose-colored glasses.
Oh, thank you.
I'm telling you, it was.
The only game that looked worse than that, Greg, was the game in Buffalo where they won 3-0, and that was because of 200-mile-per-hour winds.
Yeah, but that...
Or the Chargers game where they got shut out last year.
Or the Giants game last year.
Or the Saints game where they got shut out.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I did they muster 100 yards total offense last night?
Yeah, 139. Not much.
At one point in that game, first half wise, Jets were averaging over 7 yards a play. Over 7 yards a play. The Patriots were averaging 1.5. Herb Street said it best during that game last night. Said this offense is not built to win these kinds of games, meaning NFL regular season football games, is what I think.
He literally, after halftime, like they showed a graphic of all the stats. He's like, if you're a Patriots fan, you want the opposite of everything we just showed you.
Yeah.
That was his exact line. I also will say, Curtis, it'll be interesting because you have been talking about, you know, the guys are playing for Jerod Mayo way more than they ever played for Bill Belichick, and this is a different vibe, blah, 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 blah. But now that they're facing adversity, when it comes to real games, like, will these guys be as complimentary about everything Jerod Mayo?
Yeah, I mean, we already saw that fraying at the seams this week with DeMario Douglas, who obviously got some much, much more touches last night. Yesterday was, from top to bottom, just pathetic. And for me, what is most concerning, as someone who wants Jerod Mayo to be successful, is the conversation post-halftime, where he says, we just have to get back to fundamentals. It felt like Belichick last year saying it's time to reset, and then the team lost to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Like, the second half may have been worse than the first when it comes to, like, tackling. I don't remember ever a Patriots team that porous when it comes to just wrapping a guy up. And then Jelani Tavai, I hate the penalty. I think it's the dumbest rule. He basically put, like, James, like I put James in his crib. He put Breece Hall.
Yeah.
But, like, the tackling, how many times did they hit a jet behind the line of scrimmage?
It was awful.
Like that play it was bad. Kind of was, tackle Braylon Allen?
And it was, at one point, it was Jelani Tavai. It was Jonathan Jones. They couldn't wrap guys up. And they were getting deep left and right. I mean, in the Twitch chat, and hello and good morning and thank you to those who get up early and get up whenever and watch the show on Twitch and watch it on YouTube. Game Dog greets me this morning and says, "Why is Greg so upset? This is what we expected." Yes, I bet the under. I took these guys under 4.5. However, week one changed some perceptions. Yeah. I think there were some people who were hopeful after they beat the
Bengals. Was week one a mirage? Or
it sure was.
Was week one one of those things where it's like, oh, man, damn, I just caught the light lighting. She looked pretty, but then the lights actually came on, and you're like, oh, damn.
Last night she was a 10, now she's a 4.
Maybe was that like what week one was? And then as far as like the defense, was it that week one and week two, the offenses that they played against were, you know, Cincinnati, I think Shy might have said this, you know, without T. Higgins, and it didn't look like Jamar Chase was really into it.
Yeah.
And then you get a Jets offense that looked like they were just rolling on every cylinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say this also, like, I'm done with the Kraft trying to rebuild his image for the Hall of Fame. He looks so effing pathetic in that high chair. Like, what are you doing?
Look at that
offensive line that you put together.
Wait a minute. Was it a high chair, or was he just sitting that way?
No, Greg, there's no way. I paused the TV because I'm like, this looks crazy. It looked crazy. Shame on his son for not saying, Dad, not today.
Well, like, you know, all of us are shrinking the older we get. It's a natural occurrence. I didn't realize that he was in an actual high chair.
Yeah, because hasn't he been perched up forever? Like, hasn't he always sat higher than everybody else?
Yeah, but if you're at your home stadium, like, that's one thing. To be on the road, and it seems like it travels with him.
Wiggy, you would know because on this show, you are higher than anybody else every single day.
But, so he brings his little basketball booster seat that they use in the NBA. He brings that thing with him on the road.
He's got a chair guy. It's pathetic. I wish I had a better word. It is embarrassing that Robert Kraft is telling everybody how he belongs in Canton, and he's starting a left tackle rookie who never played left tackle at Penn State.
I mean, and the dude is penalized twice in one series. It's just pathetic.
It's just awful.
It's pathetic. And we got, I stayed up, I don't know why I did, but I stayed up late enough to see the NFL debut of Drake May. And so, I mean, I don't know what the expectation there was or is.
There was none at that point.
Zero juice in that.
Yeah,
you throw him in with 4 minutes and some change left in the game. You know, he's only getting 30% of the reps. By that time,
he got used to taking sacks, though. I mean, that's a good thing if you're playing for this team.
Picked up a couple first downs, too. He got you inside the 10-yard line. I don't know why he wouldn't call a timeout and let him try and get a touchdown.
I mean, he scrambled on for a significant gain. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, on fourth and eight.
Yeah. I
would also say, just if we want to be somewhat positive, the last great quarterback came in late in the game against the Jets to make his debut.
That is true.
You never know. No, but the thing also, Greg, watching that last night was they knew they were going to get stomped. Like, it was like they expected it. The whole offensive play calling when they got the ball, where you're dropping back to pass, these awful screens that take 15 minutes to set up. Did it seem to anybody else that the Jets knew the snap count? Like, did they not? At every snap, the Jets were in the backfield.
Yeah, the offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, was horrible in this game. Like, atrociously bad.
It was just awful. It's so offensive to watch a team look this ill-prepared, this pathetic, this inept, and talentless.
I'll ask you this. Without a Jets penalty, did they convert on an actual third down last night? I was trying to figure that out end of that game last night.
They had that one completion to Hunter Henry early in the game.
They were 2 for 11 on third down.
Yes.
I mean,
that was about it.
I hate the word because everybody uses it, but it's anemic. It's atrocious.
Well, isn't it now time that we see and say, you know what, forget about 30% of the reps, now 100% of the reps, and I know they talked a little bit about it after the game.
Wiggy, do you really think that Drake May is going to make that offense that much better?
No, I don't think he's going to make it that much better. I don't think he's going to make it better, Greg, but I think we're now at the time to be like, you know, all right, let's see what you can do with him in there. And there's the expectations, you look at it, and you know what's funny? I was at Encore last week and watching the game in like that little area there, and the guy, one of the guys, they were betting on the game, and he goes, yeah, the Pats probably won't win another game all season long. You get your doors blown off by the Jets. You got San Francisco. Isn't it that point in time to just be like, you know what? Play the young kid, see what he can do. Let him get the reps under his belt. Let him take up, you know, get beat up a little bit. Show his toughness.
Do you want the first full game that Drake May plays in the NFL to be on the road against the San Francisco 49ers?
Yes, I do.
I mean, at this point, what's the difference?
If Sam Darnold can do it, Drake May can do it.
It's like, I mean, honestly, that's like Jackson producing the afternoon show yesterday. I mean, like. Yeah, like, give him a break, please. Will ya? I mean,
but when people say, why would you play Drake May? The answer is very simple. Because he's the best person at it on your team. Like, it's not really that complex. Like, and all the people saying he's going to get ruined, there's no actual basis in fact in that argument. Who's gotten ruined that's been very good?
David Carr.
Right. You know, a crappy Carr. I honestly, like, I'm watching that last night, and everybody's flipping out saying, don't ruin him. Why? Let him grow with the team.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you got a bunch of young receivers. Curtis, you're spot on. You got a bunch of young receivers. You put them out there, and if you're Alex Van Pelt, you know, you try to get him on the move. Don't have him. You know, he's a good enough athlete, so if the thing's pocket breaks down around him, he can make some plays with his legs. But at this point in time, if not, all you're doing is watching an offense that's being driven by Jacoby Brissett that's going to look like it's, especially the passing game, is just going to look pathetic.
I'll tell you what, though, Jets look pretty good.
Yeah.
That's
a good football team.
Aaron Rodgers looks awesome.
He does.
He did not even break a sweat last night. Watching him, it was so easy.
Yeah,
I told you.
Speaking of scrambling, well, I told you also, Wiggy.
You and I have been on the Jets train.
He scrambles with the football. He's not worried about the Achilles. I mean, the guy, that's a good football team, and they stand to get some guys back also.
I will jump in a pool of my own meatballs if the Jets win the Super Bowl.
Well, they might not win the Super Bowl, but they're going to be in the mix when they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be a very, very good team, and I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, Curtis, but they're going to be a team that if they continue to play like that, and Aaron Rodgers, if he stays healthy, I mean, they're going to be right there in the mix, especially when you start to look at maybe Baltimore, a team we had high expectations on. If they continue to struggle a little bit, I think they're going to be right there with Kansas City.
How was the autograph signing event at the Hard Rock Casino in Hollywood, Florida last night?
Oh, man, it was very, very good, Greg. Yeah. Floyd Mayweather was around. I didn't get to see him.
Okay.
No, but I did meet Young Jock. Young Jock, a rapper.
Young Jock.
Yeah.
Is he French?
No, Jock. Okay. Yes, like a jock.
Okay.
So
Cousteau.
He was at the. You probably heard his song. It's going down. He was at the casino. Former Bad Boy artist, and I don't think anything he was involved in any way with the Diddy fiasco.
I see. All right.
But, it was a good time.
Was he walking funny?
No.
Okay.
He was at the craps table.
The photos coming out of Diddy and others in the industry now makes you think.
The freak-off photos? They got freak-off photos?
Like J-Lo's in one of them.
Well, is that the one where they were in bed with Aaliyah?
You probably don't know this because you're a youngin'. She dated Diddy, and she was at a club with Sean Combs, mm-hmm. where an individual was shot. And Wiggy can beef splain this because Wiggy does a lot of beef splaining to me. They fled the scene.
Yep,
J-Lo and Diddy. And blamed it on somebody else, Wiggy. You probably know who they blamed it on.
They blamed it on Shine. I think that's who it was.
Yeah.
Right? The artist that he had who sounded like Biggie.
Yeah.
And now is like a politician, and I forget where he's from.
I will tell you that Jennifer Lopez probably knows an awful lot of things that would be of interest to a lot of people. I would guess, Courtney.
And Greg, remember what Suge Knight said from jail?
Right.
And said that the reason why
He said, don't sign me, bruh.
Yeah, he didn't say
that. He said, don't let your night job affect your day job.
But we all know Suge Knight, former CEO of Death Row Records.
Fun fact, he watched Super Bowl 36 with Mrs. Wiggins.
Yes, he did.
Shine prefers the rapper Suge Free Knight. But yes, what?
And he... He said, which is kind of interesting because everybody has podcasts, but he has does like interviews from jail because he's doing a 30-year bid.
Oh, good.
He said that Ben Affleck might have saw some evidence of J-Lo, and that was the reason that they led to a divorce. Maybe Ben saw some of the freak-off videos and J-Lo was involved in them.
Wow. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to on a Patriots Friday. Not the result that anyone wanted last night, and we will talk about that with you all morning long. If you want to be on, call 617-779-7937, or if you prefer to text, you can text on the Subaru of New England text line. And I see you, Bob, and I see you, Mike, and I see you, Mike, from Connecticut, and we will get to all of you on last night's dumpster fire in Rutherford, New Jersey, coming up on this morning's show. Leeds in 10 minutes. They said it at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will discuss what Gerard Mayo said post-game about a potential quarterback change for this struggling New England Patriots offense. We'll get to the news with Courtney at 7:45. And we will find out why horned up senior citizens are creating a national health nightmare in this country. Wiggy's in the perfect state for that, and
you're in the perfect age, right? Really.
I'm not close. I'm not a senior citizen.
60, right?
I'm not close to 60.
You're very close.
I'm 57.
Right.
Almost 58, November.
I'm not anywhere near close to 60.
Closer to 60 than 50.
Stop yeah.
with that. You're actually on the verge of being closer to 65 than 50.
You are better suited to making up the scoops that you have.
Coming from the house in Connecticut, guy.
Leave me alone.
Not to tell you how to do your job, Greg, but you should have said, Courtney, state your source when it came to your age.
Did the guy ever text you back?
All right. Lots to get to, including Courtney. And what is trending first thing this morning?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Patriots fall to 1-2 on the season with a brutal 24-3 loss to the Jets. Drake May came in with less than 5 minutes to play. He completed 4 of 8 passes for 22 yards. He was sacked twice. Gerard Mayo explained his decision to go with May in this one.
I just thought it was a good opportunity for him to go out there with the ones and put a few drives together. He moved the ball. We'll watch the film and evaluate.
Aaron Rodgers looked like his old self. He completed 27 of 35 passes for 281 yards and 2 touchdowns. And get excited, BC fans. We have a night game tomorrow. 8 p.m. kickoff at Alumni against Michigan State for the red bandana game. Greg Hill, if you missed it on Instagram this morning, is wearing some BC red bandana slides.
Yes. I would like to thank the fine people at iSlide. You want to see my feet? Well, you can see my feet on Instagram.
Yes, you could probably just take the slide off.
I could do that.
Here.
Cover your noses. I can show these on Twitch right now. Take a look at those.
Oh, those are gas.
Yeah. Nice. Those are nice.
Limited edition red bandana Boston College slides.
I like those a lot.
I am officially on the Eagles bandwagon.
Oh, God.
Because of the best guest in radio history, Bill O'Brien.
Why do you want to talk BC?
So I'm excited about a lot of people going. My guy Breece Hill and his boys going to this game tomorrow night.
That's
a big game.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very
Should
fun.
Should be packed.
My sister's coming up from New York for it, which means I'm not going.
Sell out, Courtney. Sell out.
Yep. Wait, are you calling me a sellout?
No, I'm saying the game should
out,
right?
Yeah, it is sold out. Oh, yeah, for sure. And if you're wondering why we're talking about BC so much, we talked about the Patriots and the Sox got shut out by the Rays yesterday. 2-0. The boys are back home to take on the Twins tonight. 7:10 first pitch with Richard Fitz getting the start. You can hang out with Coop at 6:10 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. What a shame that Joe Castiglione, the great Joe Castiglione, is ending his 42 years in the booth with this season.
I know.
But I do hope he has a nickname for Richard Fitz.
And Wiggy, you called it yesterday, but your guy Shohei, officially a 50-50 guy.
How about that one, huh? History. Two dingers in one game to put him at three.
I think he had three.
Oh, he ended up with three?
He was six of six in the game.
Jesus.
And I believe that he ended up ended last night as a 51-51 guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Should have seen his parlay. Holy cow.
And man, good on that fan that caught his 50, left the game immediately.
Oh, yeah. Get out of there.
Yep. Said, call my lawyer.
Yes. Keep that ball.
Yes. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston. Nestled in the Fenway, from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 62 degrees right now. Cloudy skies. Going to be cloudy the rest of the day. High in the upper 60s.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It is a Patriots Friday after the national embarrassment that was that game last night against the Jets. You could talk about that all day long on this radio station, Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Curtis, there's an accident nearby, major accident nearby this morning. You're not only the weather smoke, you're the traffic smoke as well.
Yeah, well, I've quit sports. Yes, right outside, if you know where the IHOP is, I don't even know the name of that street, but if you're past, if you get on, if you head towards Storrow Drive from Watertown or Newton, you pass across, there's a big dealership of Acura, and then there's like a Staples right outside of there. There is a major accident on that road.
Leaving here yesterday, after everybody else, stress brag, I ran into the traffic from that Storrowing that happened with the Ryder truck. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, it was literally gridlock for 15 to 20 minutes.
It wasn't like a small, it was like an 18-wheeler moving van. And the dude who was driving, or the lady who was driving, must have been like exceeding the speed limit, because they took the entire back of the truck off when they hit whatever they hit on Storrow Drive yesterday.
That screams texting and driving.
I just screams somebody who doesn't realize. I mean, I was almost in that situation, if you remember, a month or so ago when I was helping DMs move. It's not paying attention, but miserable. And then there was another truck that overturned yesterday. People were stuck on the Mass Pike yesterday for hours, not minutes.
Yep.
But hours. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to. We're going to get to our leads momentarily, and then they set it at 7. And as Curtis mentioned, it is Richard Fitz getting the start for the Boston Red Sox. How many times do you think in his life Richard has said, "Please, the name is Richard, not Dick"? Like how many?
Oh, I thought you were going to say it doesn't.
1 million.
I mean, getting the start tonight for the Boston Red Sox, it's Richard Fitz. Alex Cora saying pregame that if the Dick fits, you got to start it.
Jeez, what? I was going to say, don't birdshot.
I mean, what? Too soon? It's his that last was year. Excellent. You can't do that. Do you want angry Patriots fans? I guess we do probably all morning long, right? This is Mike from Florida. Hello, Mike.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
What's
Happy
up?
Friday.
Yes.
I just want to comment. So I'm not coming at you, Shime. I'm with you. I want to see the kid play. But I just want to kind of sympathize with people who don't want the kid, quote-unquote, ruined. I think, especially after watching last night, like with that offensive line, it's more probable than not that because of the deficiencies on the offensive line, it's more probable than not that it's going to hinder his progress, which it is what it is at this point. There's no turning back on the fact that the organization itself didn't do anything whatsoever when they knew that they were going to be bringing in this young kid, did nothing to reinforce the offensive line that was horrible last year. So we're stuck with it, and you're just going to have to say, screw it, play the kid. If it slows them down a little bit because the offensive line sucks, it's their own damn fault. It's just like watching the Bruins and their mess with Swayman. Okay, if you didn't want to negotiate with Swayman, then you should have just kept Allmark. When it comes to the organizations in the city of Boston, I don't know what's going on. Is it something in the dirty water up there? Because it seems like every single organization, GM, et cetera, just doesn't recognize its own massive flaws.
Yeah, I would just counter with that. Like, I don't think that all of last night's issues were entirely on the offensive line, especially in the first half. I think a lot of it was on Jacoby Brissett. The Jets were blitzing on 50% of their plays in the first half. 50. They ended up over 33% blitzing in for the entire game, which is 10% more than Robert Saleh teams do on any given week. And there was a reason for that, and it's because Jacoby Brissett would come to the line of scrimmage, and he wouldn't even be able to identify where the pressure was coming from. The very first drive, that third down, they showed the camera view from behind the line of scrimmage, and anybody on the planet could see, oh, there's four guys on the right side, four defensive Jets players lined up on my offensive line's right side. And yet there was no protection shift. There was no bring the tight end over to Chip. There was nothing. There was zero movement. There was zero initiative by the quarterback. And so I blame him for not recognizing that and not having a hot read. Like, that's the whole point. That's why Aaron Rodgers torched your ass, is because when you did decide to bring the blitz, he had the ball out in under 2 seconds. Yeah. Like, the ball was in his hands and it was out. That and Jacoby Brissett just does not do that.
But the question, the thing I always look at, and Greg, we always talk about, and this is to the callers, what happens is, and it looked like there was another point in the game. It seems like every game that they play, Jacoby Brissett is lying on the ground looking like he's hurt. What happens if he does get hurt? What are you going to then do? Are you going to say, oh, we can't put Drake May in because the offensive line is not?
So you're saying that when somebody like Mike calls and says you can't put Drake May in this season behind this line, you're saying you're going to have to eventually anyway, because at some point Jacoby Brissett is going to get killed, but is what you're
saying.
This
was going to be my lead. If people are still going with that because they don't want to see Drake May injured, then they need to stop, because Jerod Mayo doing that yesterday in that game after Jacoby took five sacks is asking for Drake May to get hurt. So you put him in when there's no hope of winning that game, and you're going to throw your rookie quarterback in enemy territory when the O-line looks as bad as they've ever looked, and he gets sacked twice. Like, that, you can't say that they're worried about him getting hurt if you're going to – you can't have it both ways. Can't say you don't want him to get hurt and then throw him into a situation like that.
And you can't cite quarterbacks like Jim Plunkett in the Twitch chat in today's NFL. It is an entirely different game. You cannot touch the quarterback. And the odds of a quarterback getting hurt are higher when it's a guy less mobile under center. So you're waiting for it to happen with Jacoby Brissett. And you just don't understand what's happened in the NFL if you still hold on to these false beliefs that holding out a guy works. Patrick Mahomes was on the Chiefs in 2017. Do you know how the Chiefs started that year? I'll tell you, 5-0. So if the Patriots are 5-0, we're not talking about Drake May.
Right.
We're talking about a team that is obviously miles and miles and maybe a galaxy away from contending. So at least learn what you have with the most important position as soon as possible so as to have the ability to build around it, or know that you have to rebuild entirely.
But that, and I get it, it's two rookies, but that offensive line is horrendous. Horrendous. It's like every Monday after a game, we're going to walk in here and we're going to ask this about Jacoby Brissett.
Did the man die? He did.
Speaking of Robert Saleh, what was the verbal violence that was directed at him by Aaron Rodgers in the first quarter after that touchdown last night?
I zoomed in far too much to read his lips. Okay. I think he said
something about his leg.
I think he said stop, it's too early. Like, don't celebrate, like, it's too early. Don't, like, hug me and
what
celebrate.
A hardo.
That's what I thought he said.
What a an absolute hardo.
Actually, Greg, I think he said something like, can you believe that Swayman extension report?
Hilarious.
I love now the Aaron Rodgers pushing Saleh and we're reading his lips. Stop, it's too early.
That's what I think he said.
Stop, it's too early.
I mean, what a dink he is. But he looks really
good.
He's
so good.
He really does.
He is.
Well,
he's
really good when you decide not to pressure him. It's a really smart tactic.
Well, they tried to pressure him. They just couldn't.
Yeah.
He was just, I mean, he escaped Uche like multiple times. He was just making throws. Like, I mean, he was under 2.4 on time to throw for 90% of that game.
Uche was great at hitting him late, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that was great.
Also hit Braylon out of the backfield. Just couldn't wrap him up.
And Greg, you're right. He did look a lot better when it came to his confidence in his Achilles.
Yeah.
The way he moved out of the pocket a few times.
100%.
And he's just going to build off of that.
This is Tim. Hey, Tim.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say, we only knew what we had. You know what I mean? The thing is, with May, I called in yesterday, and I figured May would play because the Jets are going to beat him. Hmm. They're going to put a pounding on him, and that's what happened. You got to let this kid play. I'm not a May guy, but I hope he does well. The thing is, you got to let him play, and this kid can throw the ball to the outside. That's what he's got to do. They can't let him throw it down the middle. Look, he almost got picked off the very first half.
Yeah.
Outside and deep and keep it out of trouble. And hopefully this kid stays safe. But he's got to learn how to play. Let him play. That's what he is. He's alive. Yeah. All right? He's not going to die.
Shime, he floated that the first pass that he made as an NFL quarterback. He just floated it out there.
with
two Jets defenders drooling like bullet drools over the TV remote.
Well, so Greg, as Wiggy will tell you, that is what an offensive play caller would call a tempo play. You just get an easy pass out of the way. However, his offensive coordinator decided, oh yeah, they're definitely playing man coverage. They were not in man coverage. They were in zone coverage.
Okay. I'm sitting next to Rich Cotite here.
Yeah, I was very mad. I think Lauren was scared for her life the way I was like yelling at the TV about setting protections.
Whoa. It was like the living room became your bedroom.
I'm not the one who yells the bedroom, Chris.
This is a good time for the All 22 Shime breakdown.
I'm not the one who yells.
I feel like it is my obligation to point out that the current record when it comes to Curtis Bombs is 1-0 after predicting that Drake May would play.
Well done, Curtis.
Yeah, it was it was otherwise a crap night for yours truly, but I did see a chance that Drake May would get in, and I really do believe that it will be week 5. That hasn't been my take. It's like the most overused story in the city because of it's the home open. I mean, it's the home game. Kraft wants the home game. You got Brady in the building for Fox. You get time to build up to that. He's not going to get the start against the 49ers. That would be like putting him in the middle of a war zone. So I really believe it'll be week 5, and I am just so disgusted by how awful that it was. Watching that game, if this wasn't my job, I would have gone to bed after the first quarter.
Yeah, same.
Like, it was just boring, miserable crap.
Yeah. Also, I do not appreciate this 413 text on the Subaru of New England text line, but I will read it anyway. Did you see it? It says, how many times has Greg heard, stop, it's too early? And I do not appreciate that. Never. Never, to be honest. Never. All right. We are going to take a break on a Patriots Friday, and we will return with this morning's leads next.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Sean, great choice this morning when it comes to a lead. That's bad company. One of the only bands that was successful in having a hit song with the title of the band name, in case you were wondering.
It's a great fact.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Feel free to use that if you're ever DJing on the radio at any point, Shy.
Okay, perfect.
Throw that in kind of over the intro or maybe.
And try and hit the post?
Maybe in your post cell. You could throw that in there as a little tidbit. Okay. Good morning, your lead today?
Yeah, good morning, Greg. I got two notes from last night's game for you. One positive, one negative. I'll start with the positive because it's primarily all negative here. Once again, Christian Gonzalez was freaking awesome in this game. Like, he was one-on-one with Garrett Wilson all over the field. Didn't matter the formation. Didn't matter which side of the field Garrett Wilson was on. Christian Gonzalez was one-on-one with him, and for the most part, kind of locked him down that entire game. There were multiple times, and Herbstreit even pointed this out, where Rodgers thought about taking a shot down the field to Garrett Wilson and then thought better of it because he saw Christian Gonzalez on him. Like, it was kind of impressive. And to get that kind of respect from a guy like Rodgers is a big deal. So good job, Christian Gonzalez, but that's about all you could be happy about from last night's game. It was ugly, and the guy who was the worst out of anybody to me was Alex Van Pelt, and I don't think it was very close. Like, if you look at the Saints, they are 2-0, they have dominated, and it's primarily because of the offensive play calling. They have thrown the ball the least amount of times in football and yet are scoring like 43 points a game, and that's because their offense is so efficient in what they do, and they use a ton, and when I say a ton, I mean like on every play, they're using motion. Look at guys like Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay.
And Bobby Slowick.
Bobby Slowick. Anybody from those trees, motion all day. It is like a cheat code for offense, and yet Alex Van Pelt just couldn't care less. Refuses to use it. He has this medieval, like 1980s basic offense that needs to figure it out. This guy has not had a good couple of weeks, and he is one of the prime reasons this offense is so bad.
You have to put a fair amount of it, though, on Jacoby Brissett.
I do. Like, okay. For me, the blame pie would be primarily Alex Van Pelt, then a large chunk Jacoby Brissett, and then another chunk would go to the offensive line.
I mean,
in that
order. Was he intending to throw that ball to Hooper or to Wiggy in Florida?
I don't know what he was doing on that one. And there was a good design play right there. Play action, Hooper across the field. He's wide open. He seals it out of bounds.
He's throwing it to DeMarcus Covington.
Yeah. All right. Shime. It's not pretty.
It's not great.
It's actually a national embarrassment, as I said earlier. And it's a primetime game. It's the only primetime game that you get this season.
And that's the performance.
And like Curtis said, Greg, they're a boring football team.
Well, you would be shocked by how many people, Curtis brought this up, how many people on the Subaru of New England text line went to bed at halftime last night. That would never happen 5 years ago.
Right, and there's not even a good storyline there. They're just like, even last week when we talked about the Seattle game, like it's a they're a boring team to watch, and that's why when we had the conversation of like, you know, how are people gonna go, are the ratings gonna be, I think people were just like, you know, no expectations. I'd rather watch Red Zone than watch until they actually put Drake May in, and then I think at least people will tune in to see at least what he looks like.
Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. So one quick nugget, the Gerard Mayo era is off to a 1-2 start. Obviously, it's his first time as a head coach. He's going to have growing pains. But the building relationships and doing things 180 degrees from his predecessor already may have cost him. And the way in which they were force-feeding Pop Douglas the ball early in this game instead of establishing the run was a mistake. And I understand.
Is that what you get when you have a player's coach? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it's specific to a player's coach. I think you can be, I think Sean McVay is a player's coach, but I think he schemes up games and game plans where players get involved, but he puts the focus on the success of the play ahead of the player that's going to be targeted. And the only way Gerard Mayo is going to be able to build and sustain relationships with players is if those players win games. Not if they like him or not. And that was just sort of, to me, a major red flag early in that game where it felt like Pop Douglas was running 60 miles horizontally to gain 1 yard. And the other is the Patriots knew this team was nowhere good enough, just like Sam Kennedy knew the Red Sox were nowhere good enough. And they didn't give a damn. And if Robert Kraft is sitting there begging to get in the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, maybe you would expedite the process if you didn't get exposed by your lack of spending on a consistent basis after the quarterback left town. And the offensive line was an issue at the end of last year. It was an issue at the draft. It was an issue at free agency. They did nothing. They had a guy at left tackle who didn't even play left tackle in the Big Ten playing in the NFL in week 3. Like, it was really and truly, like, they kept showing them and all these people, because Kraft's on the broadcast committee. They're like, oh, what an amazing owner. Look at him. Look at how tall he is on that seat. Wow. Like, why don't you look at the offensive line and that he did nothing to fix it? And I do feel they are teetering with the Boston sports fan, where the guys and gals are rightfully sitting in their house saying, why would I dedicate any more of my free time to this product?
Mr. Telectric in the Twitch chat says that Mayo was absolutely outcoached last night. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would say that, but I also think that the coordinators were much better for the Jets than the Patriots. I don't know how much I give to Robert Saleh. I think Aaron Rodgers is the coach of the offense, and I think Ulbrich is a pretty good defensive coordinator. I don't know about tempo plays, but I would say not a good night for Gerard Mayo and the whole coaching staff.
All right. Gerard Mayo, programming note, will join us Monday, as he always does on Mayo Mondays on this show. So we'll get to talk to Gerard Mayo on Monday morning. We will get to the rest of this morning's leads, including one for Courtney from me.
Wow.
You and your fantasy football friends.
Oh.
I know you don't like the fantasy football people.
It's not that I don't like them. I just like think them. That they're hardos.
You don't like them, and you don't like the short kings.
Well, that I love the short kings.
Nope, that has been established. You have an issue. I think the worst thing for you would be to encounter a short fantasy football hardo.
Most
like
are.
That would be.
Damn.
Yikes.
Fantasy football players are all short now, huh?
God. All right. We'll get to
just giving you what you want.
We'll get to the rest of the leads next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.